Let's pray. Father, you are so faithful to us. And often, God, we fail you. And yet you still are faithful to us. For that, Lord, we cannot help but praise you and be thankful to you. Because you stand by us. You're our rock. You are, Lord, you're our foundation. Everything that we are, everything that we do, everything that we want to be is resting on you, God. We trust in you. We trust in you completely, and there's nothing more that we would want other than to be obedient to you. And so, God, we come today as your family. We gather today, Lord, as your family to celebrate mothers. Lord, we know that you have granted to us this wonderful day in which we can acknowledge just what our moms mean to us. And Father, it's more than that. We also come to acknowledge heritage, the heritage that you've given us. And God, we thank you for godly heritage. We think too, God, as a family, we pray for one another, as you have told us to do. And so we think, Lord, of Henry Neeson, and Lord, we pray for him and for the Penner family. And God, we think of Ruth and Herb, and Herb's health is starting to fail, and we pray that you'll be very close to them and to Debbie as well, and Jim. Lord, we think of Ray King, and we know, Lord, Debbie Heal is traveling today to be with her father. And so, God, we pray that you will give to her a safety and also peace to that family and strength, God, and just ease Ray's suffering. Lord, for Hazel, who tore ligaments in her leg, we pray, God, for your healing upon her as well. And for Lenore and Lori and Connie and Megan, God, we lift them to you. We pray for them and their families, and for each situation, God, we know that you know what is required. We pray you'll give to the doctors wisdom as they treat. Father, we think of those who are grieving, and we think of David Ryerson and Doreen Brown, and Lord, we lift them to you and pray your comfort upon them as they're suffering loss. Lord, may they feel your presence. May they sense your presence. We pray for Mary Warkentine, God, and we pray that you would give to her your encouragement and strength today. And Lord, that she would feel your peace, and give to her family, Lord, even a time of celebration today as it's Mother's Day. We pray, God, also for us as a church, that as we move forward in obedience and surrender to you, that you would just open your arms of blessing to us, God. Thank you, Lord, that we can come here today and worship you, pay tribute to our heritage. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. How many of you are glad today? All right, you can all go home. Just kidding. Don't. You know, I got to tell you, Hertha, my wife Joan knows exactly how you feel. And Murray, I agree. I concur with your statement. I completely agree. I know how it is. Did you all catch that? Can you hear me? Okay. You know, I got to tell you, this thing tickles me. And yeah, I might laugh, but I thought it was a spider. And there's one thing that my mother taught me is to be afraid of spiders. And so I was yanking at this thing. And then I realized that, well, okay, you all may as well know, I'm also a Secret Service agent, and it's okay. I just work on the side. It's okay. Just kidding. It scared me, though, for one moment. I thought something, you know. Anyway, you had to be there, I guess. Well, today is Mother's Day. Did you know? I thought I would remind you. How many of us here say that we would not be here if it were not for our mother? All right. I want to just glean some thoughts for all of us, as all of us, as we continue to walk through the strain of daily living, ways in which we can better our own selves and our own relationship with the Lord. And maybe you recall today, maybe for you today, you recall what it was like for you as a child growing up. And maybe, as we've noted, there were special moments that you shared, spent together, and things you learned from your mother. Maybe there's even things that, even this past weekend, you enjoyed, and those moments would be special for you as you spent time as a family, or maybe you begin to think and notice that there are character traits that you possess that are similar to your own mom, and you go, oh, you know. Like, I was thinking, my mother taught me how to tell a great story. No, she didn't. But that's why Mother's Day is celebrated. It's time for us to rekindle those moments which are dear to us, of our family, of our heritage. Most moms can identify with this Family Circus cartoon. I think it really says something about mothers. There's mom, she's doing the dishes, she's got the ironing board out, they're holding a mop, everything's going on, and her little daughter says, you used to work before you were married, didn't you, mommy? And here she is already getting laundries on the line. I mean, most of you mothers can identify to that. Most of you wives can identify to that. Most of us can identify to that. Well, I want to look at Proverbs 31 this morning. Now, no, there's no doubt that this passage in Scripture gets more airtime on Mother's Day than any other passage of Scripture. The majority of the proverb describes a virtuous woman who leads her home with integrity, discipline, and giftedness, but it also describes leadership qualities that we can all learn, not just the ladies, not just the moms, but all of us. The book of Proverbs begins with the command to trust and revere the Lord. And it ends with the picture of a woman who fulfills this command. Well, some suggest that even this passage, Proverbs 31, may not be one single woman, but a composite portrait of the ideal. So don't get caught up in thinking, I just can't measure up to Proverbs 31. Don't think that. But there are many aspects within this passage that I want to zero in on today. There are so many aspects of leadership, in fact. I just want to zero in on the attitude markers that we as Christians need to develop and enjoy. So turn to Proverbs 31, if you're not already there. Proverbs 31 in your Bibles. And I just want to note the attitude markers. I mean, there's so much stuff here that I could pull out of as far as leadership, but this is all good stuff. But let me read through it for you, beginning at verse 10 of Proverbs 31. Once I get my Bible out of here. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband's respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Great passage from the Word of God. Proverbs 31. Now, it's easy to read that and say, oh no, be a little intimidating, but it's a great passage. The first attitude marker I see there is delight. the light. I'm zeroing in verse 13, but I mean all that whole passage up to the end of verse to the end of verse 19. It says she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. I don't know what it is, but we often find it so hard to delight anymore in the little things. See, our world has taught us well that we must have something rather large in our life to be thankful for it. In fact, when I mention the word delight, many have a hard time even to define what it means because it's so rare in this day and age, that word delight. It seems that this word has slowly died as its mannerism has. So to delight means to enjoy. It means to take pleasure in. It means to please. Is this not to be the Christian? Are we not to delight in a relationship with our Lord and in a relationship with one another? Proverbs 11:27 says, "The one who seeks good finds delight. The student of evil becomes evil." The picture presented here is one of a wealthy and honorable household in Proverbs 31. This noble lady, she takes delight in service. She delights in selecting fine wool and flax. She delights in working with eagerness. You can tell the Hebrew mannerism here is delighting. She's not at all lazy. It's quite the opposite. She knows there's a mission to be done, and she gets it done. We can learn such delight, even through difficult, trying moments. Delight is critical. Nancy Reagan understood this, as she said. She said, "A woman is like a tea bag. You never know her strength until you drop her in hot water." Isn't that true? I believe in our stressful dog-eat-dog world, we have lost the capacity to delight anymore, especially in one another. Even in marriage, it's become more and more prevalent that individuals are too busy to delight in each other. We're too busy fighting with each other. Often when there's a moment in our busy life where we stop to smell the roses, arguments ensue or nitpicking develops. It's like the couple. Can I tell you a story? You were waiting. It's like the couple who drove down a country road for several miles, not saying a word to each other. There's an earlier discussion that led to an argument. Neither of them wanted to concede their position. So you can always tell when a guy's angry. White knuckles, you know. And she's always like this in the passenger seat. You know, really, I know from experience. No, I mean, I'm talking about my mom and dad. I'm not talking about mine. They passed a barnyard of mules and goats and pigs. The husband asked very sarcastically, "Relatives of yours?" Yep, the wife replied. "In-laws." You gotta love it. Yeah. Ladies, you have permission to use that, eh? It's one thing to say that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but it's a different thing to delight in Him. Ecclesiastes imparts these words, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 8, from the Message Bible. "Even if you live a long time, don't take a single day for granted. Take delight in each light-filled hour, remembering that there will also be many dark days and that most of what comes your way is smoke." What do you take for granted? Is it your spouse? Is it your children? Is it your church? You see, I sense that if we were to delight in God, we would speak more about him. We would want our life to be an extension of his grace to those around us, everyone. We would want others to find the delight, and when we delight in God, others will want that refreshment that you possess. That's what Proverbs 31 is all about. Delight. Enjoyment. Pleasure. What a great attitude marker. Delight. Look at the second one. The second one is compassion. Why don't you look at verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. I love this verse. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. She opens her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her filled hands to the needy, whether in body, mind, or spirit. Literally, she opens her palm to the poor. She gives to the poor with liberality. Psalm 112, verse 9 explains this. It says, they lavish gifts on the poor, a generosity that goes on and on and on, an honored life, a beautiful life. This isn't just for ladies. This isn't just for moms. This is for all those who are deemed righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Generosity is the mark of the Christian. We can learn from this example, this attitude mark. My wife, Joan, I love her dearly. I mean, man, she does way more. I couldn't do her job. I really couldn't. Her number one gift is voluntary poverty. And her second gift is giving. So you know that this boy ain't getting too many toys. All right? No, I got to tell you, I marvel at that. I want that. I observe that. She teaches that, not only to our children, but to me. The opening up of her palm to the poor. You know, in here, this was the hand that was diligently at work selecting wool and flax. This was the hand that worked eagerly. Compassion is what our world requires. If we truly desire people to come to Christ, they need to see his compassion within us. I love the words Chuck Swindoll, who said, non-Christians won't care how much we know until they know how much we care. That's what the church is all about, caring, isn't it? Demonstrating compassion and care is what the Christian life is all about. It's not about rules, regulations. It's about another lost sheep found. It's about a lost coin discovered. It's about a wayward son knowing that he can come home and be embraced. I sense the Christian church has lost this word somewhere with our focus on doctrines and dogmas. We've forgotten what it means to care. I mean, look around you this morning. Just look around. Don't look at me. Look around. Just look around you. You know. Wake up those people beside you. Come on. You know. Look around. Who's missing this morning? Who's not sitting in their pew? Actually, check. They might be sitting in your pew. I don't know. But where's the compassion that demonstrates such love, such care of our God? A number of years ago, previous ministry, an older fellow came through the door on a Sunday morning. I'll never forget it. He said, "Hi, I'm Charlie. I don't like church." He was grumpy. Man, was he grumpy. Fellowship time, old Charlie stood in the corner, scowling, drinking a cup of coffee. Every Sunday, Charlie would do the same thing. He'd come through the door. He'd say it again. "Hi, I'm Charlie. I don't like church." An older guy, probably in his 80s. No one had paid any attention to Charlie. One day, a lady came through the door and she said, "Pastor, Pastor, where's Charlie today?" I didn't have a clue, so I said, "Well, I don't know." She said, "Do you know anything about him?" I responded as I normally would respond to any question. "No, I don't." amazingly, that lady, she spent the better part of that week trying to seek out Charlie. And the next Sunday, as she went through the door, she had following her, good old Charlie. She said, "I found him, Pastor. He was lost, and I found him." And so I was a little curious. I thought, man, what did she do here? So I walked in the fellowship hall after the service, and I cornered Virg, and I asked her, what happened? She said, she said, you know, I got to tell you, she said, the post office was the local gossip hall in the town. And so she said, I sat there day after day until I noticed Charlie. And along he came. She said, so I asked him why he missed church this past Sunday. And she said, his response told it all. He said, hey, I didn't think anybody cared, so I didn't go. But just for your information, I want you to hear this. That Sunday, when good old Charlie went through the door, this is what he said to me. Hi, I'm Charlie, and I love church. Compassion speaks more than anything else we can do or say. And Charlie's living proof of that. How compassionate are we? Attitude marker, first of all, delight. Secondly, compassion. Thirdly, unselfishness. Unselfishness. Look at verse 20. Opens her arms to the poor, extends her hands to the needy, and goes on and talks about snow. She has no fear for her household. They're all clothed in scarlet. And it goes down to verse 26. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instructions on her tongue. You know, this is all the mark of Christianity. Christ gave himself for us. We are in turn to give ourselves back to him. To be unselfish, this is so much. When selfishness enters into our heart, the enemy has a heyday with us. We begin looking at the ways that we want things done. We start examining others' hearts. We forget our own. We are determined to get our own way, and nothing else matters. It's like the Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her 5 and her 6-year-old. A commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and our sisters. And without missing a beat, a little boy answered, "Thou shalt not kill." We need to be unselfish in order to better our relationship with other people. Got another family circus cartoon for you. It betrays just wonderful unselfish behavior on many levels. Look at this. Mom's laying on the couch and the kids are all gathered and dad's going out there leaving. Poor mommy. We get to go to the movies for Mother's Day and she has to stay home. You know. I know a lot of you are going, oh, please. Anyway. Okay, quit nudging your hubby. Come on. You could say, well, mom needs a break, and so everybody vacates the home. That's unselfishness. Or you could say that the husband's unselfish in giving mom a break. You could say that the kids are unselfish because they feel so bad for mom. And we know that mom's unselfish. For she wants them to have a great time as well. She does. Good betrayal of unselfish giving on many, many levels. When we're unselfish, so many things occur in our life for the better. We become forgiving. We begin to deal with bitterness in our life. Our relationships soar, and we move back to number one. We delight in the Lord. That's how it happens. And out of this attitude marker comes this verse, verse 26. And I love this verse. Listen, just for a moment. Listen, above all else, get this. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. Listen to the way the Message says it. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. Wow. This isn't just for moms. This isn't just for ladies. This is for young people. This is for children who learn from us adults. This is in particular for the church. We're to speak worthwhile things into somebody's life and always kindly speaking them. And A.S. Nin said, we don't see things as they are. We see them as we are. Let me repeat that in case you didn't get it. We don't see things as they are. We see them as we are. There's a traveler. Can I tell you a story? All right, good. A traveler nearing a great city asked a lady who was just kind of sitting in a park bench, and he was coming close to the city, and it was on the outside. And he went up to her, and he said, "Excuse me, what are people like in this city? What are they like here in this city? I'm new, don't know anything about it. What are they like?" And so she looked at him, and she said, "Well, how were the people where you came from?" "Oh," he said, "they were a terrible, terrible lot. They were mean, they were untrustworthy, they were detestable in all respects." "Ah," said the woman, "you'll find them the same in this very city," she said. Scarcely had the first traveler gone, another one stopped by, went up to the lady and inquired the same thing about the people in the city. "What are the people like in the city before me?" "Oh," she said, "well, what were the people like in the city that you came from?" "Always, they were fine people. They were honest. They were industrious. They were generous to a fault. I was sorry to leave that city." "Ah," said the wise woman, "so you will find them in the city ahead." We don't see things as they are. We see them as we are. I don't know about you, but this is so hard. This is so difficult. In particular, the world in which we live, there is so much negative and slamming going on, isn't there? You turn on the news, and you can almost daily find some picketing group about, they're upset about something. We learn so much from others. Drink this in as you observe people around you. What worthwhile mark can I leave on someone today? I have found that those who do not encourage others often aren't encouraged themselves. Those who have difficulty admitting they are wrong have a hard time seeing themselves as wrong. Those who look for the fault in others often feel very faulty. We see things as we are. What worthwhile comment can you make today about someone? Because it may just change their life. My father and mom, we always, on Mother's Day, were in church, and my dad always wore a carnation on his lapel. Always. Always did. And I could never figure that one out. And so one day I asked my dad, I said, "Why do you always wear a carnation on your lapel? You're not even the preacher, you know?" And he said, "Because," he said, "I remember all the things that my mom did for me." He said, "And that's what that carnation represents." Carol Burnett always would tug on her ear to show that, "Hey, Grandma, this is for you." What comment, what worthwhile comment can you make today about someone that may just change their life? You see, the Christian life, or Christian church, I'm sorry, must be marked by watching our tongue, as James says in the New Testament. There needs to be something different about the Christians in this world. We must deliver promise and hope, not doom and gloom. We must demonstrate how God changes the individual, how much joy is in his people. Amen? Then let us leave here this morning, not belaboring Proverbs 31 anymore. Let us leave here with the promises of God's word. And for today, let's begin a movement within our city that says we delight in God. And out of that comes our compassion and our unselfish nature, which brings out the best in God's pinnacle of creation, people. Let's pray. Father, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I'm just going to ask you, God, to just speak to their hearts now. And maybe it's to speak to them about how mom has affected them, or how their heritage has affected them, God, and or how their heritage has shaped them into the person that they are today. God, maybe you want to speak to moms. Maybe you want to speak to young ladies. Maybe you want to speak, Lord, to men. to children, to young adults. God, I just pray that you'll speak this morning. All of your head is bowed and every eye is closed. If God is speaking to you today and you're saying, Lord, I just want to be this, I want to be a person who delights in you. I want to be a person who's compassionate for you. And I want to be a person who's unselfish because of you. Just lift your hand up. Just lift it up. Lord bless you. Lord bless. God sees all those hands. God sees them. God sees them. Maybe today you're here and you know that your mom prayed for you. She was a loving Christian or is a loving Christian, and she loved you so much she prayed for you and keeps praying for you. But maybe you've never grabbed hold of that whole element of being a Christian. You've never said, Lord, forgive me. I give you my heart today. Today you can do that. Today you can grab hold of that gift that God gives. That's his son. And say to him, Lord, I want you to forgive me, God. Lord, I commit my life to you. I want to be a Christian. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you're coming to God that way, saying, I want to be a Christian, God, just lift your hand up. Just lift it up. Lord, bless you. Just lift your hand. Father God, it's so great to pay tribute to moms. But even more so, God, it's such a tribute to learn. And Lord, we've learned so much. Even Proverbs 31 speaks to all of us of how we're supposed to live and shape this world that we're part of. So God, we just pray right now your continued blessing upon us, in particular upon our moms. We thank you for them and pray, Lord, that you will give them a blessed, blessed day. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Happy Mother's Day.